everyone. Welcome back to Back to the Past, the Alternate History Podcast. This is Season 4, Episode 15 of the podcast. And today we're going to talk about an act that really brought fundamental systems to the way labor unions work in this country. And that is the Taft-Hartley Act. And specifically, we're going to talk about what if the Taft-Hartley Act never passed. So here's Nick for some background.
Now, I mean, nowadays we see that the Taft-Hartley Act is a very controversial act, and it's pretty unpopular actually amongst a lot of people. However, the Taft-Hartley Act was in response to a bunch of strikes that happened after World War II between the years of 1945 and 1946. And as you know, this was mainly an effort made by Republicans and conservative Democrats. As we saw, the leader of the conservative coalition in the Senate, Robert A. Taft, who is also one of my favorite politicians of all time, and we also and the co-sponsor in the House was Fred A. Hartley of New Jersey, actually, as a matter of fact. Taft-Hartley was made, in a sense, to amend the Wagner Act to restore, in a sense, to quote-unquote, restore management and labor relations between one another. Some of the things that it did were definitely controversial, in a sense. For example, banning closed shops, for example. And there's also the question of if it violated, for example, the First Amendment's freedom of association with the communist affidavit, where they had to sign within a year saying they were not a communist. And keep in mind, this was 1947. This was just about when the Cold War was acting up. So first, I'll start off with this one, by the way. In order to get rid of the Taft-Hartley Act, I think, simply put, I think we'd have to change their decision. It would have to be either one of two things. No, we go one or two ways with this, actually. Number one, we could just say the Taft-Hartley Act doesn't pass because Truman's veto is more powerful and the Congress doesn't come up with enough votes to say override the veto as it would. However, that would just simply mean that the Wagner Act would remain unamended, and that would make it very unpopular, as it was during our actual timeline. However, the timeline I was thinking of, and we were talking about this before, and we both agreed upon it, so this is the direction we're going to be taking it, is in a sense, what if the Wagner Act was repealed instead? And the reason why I say this is because Taft-Hartley itself is kind of misconstrued in the sense because Taft-Hartley itself is not a standalone act. Instead, it is an amendment to the Wagner Act and the earlier Norris and LaGuardia Act of 1932. Basically, what the Wagner Act does is that it actually guarantees the right of private sector employees to organize into unions and also to, you know, engage in collective bargaining and also perform strikes. And of course, at the time period when there's a lot of strikes going on, you'll see a lot of anti-union sentiment. And this was pretty clear in 1947. And so how do you think this will start off? How do you think it starts off if we were, for example, get rid of the Wagner Act? Because that changes a lot. That changes the ballgame immediately right there.
Well, I think, Nick, we need to look at the political climate of the era, first of all, with the late 40s and early 50s. With this fear of essentially communists and socialists all over, and labor unions can be seen somewhat as that, because if you think about it, the union is for the people, for the worker, and that's what communism kind of appealed to the working class to help get them better standing versus the ruling class in communism and socialism. So the labor unions, what they were trying to do was essentially get better wages and better conditions for the working class, but of course, by striking and other methods as well. So with the Wagner Act repealed, I think the labor unions would disappear right away. Because first of all, private industry, they have no reason to keep labor unions. Especially during this time period, I don't think there is this thing called, essentially, there's no policies of paying someone more than you have to. So they work harder.
Minimum wage is installed by FDR in 1938.
No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, like, there's this policy in economics where you pay someone more than, like, they need to be paid. So they work harder, they're more efficient, and they stick to your company, if you know what I mean. So, like, that's why a lot of companies also give benefits, too, to attract good workers and good quality. So I think private enterprise would kind of get rid of as much as possible in order to increase their profit lines and help increase efficiency. And going off that, I think, especially in this time period, I don't think work time benefits would really start to happen as a result. But at the same time, I don't think they really happen anyway during this time. They happen later on. So the biggest thing I would see right now is really just reduction in wages. But products would be cheaper as well because it costs less to produce them now, you know?
Yeah, you definitely do bring up a good point, especially with the fact that, you know, unions in a sense kind of do keep a business in check, especially in terms of offering benefits and incentives. And that's why, honestly, when I hear, like, for example, thinking getting rid of the Wagner Act, and I know this is a little bit more political in the sense, I honestly think that people really hate Taft-Hartley a little too much than what could actually happen. Because like you were saying, I think that's kind of what we would see as a result of it, for example. And we would see, for example, workers basically losing out on a lot of the benefits they may have had as a result of unions beforehand. And there's really no need for unions because effectively the only unions you would see would be in the public sector, you know, for government. So like, for example, you'd still see teachers unions, and you still see other types of unions. But in a sense, I do think that Taft-Hartley does bring the needed stability that does effectively manage workers and manage business worker relations. And I think, but I'm going to get off the political train here and just go back to actually what we were saying, though. I think one thing we should also talk about in a sense is while definitely these goods would be produced more cheaply, I'm also thinking more towards the fact is how would the industrialization happen? I mean, one of the big things that we saw in the 1970s and even today is the absolute destruction of industry in the United States. And by the destruction, I mean the deportation of jobs out of the United States into other countries. And I'm going to say, for example, China, Vietnam nowadays, Mexico, India, a lot of those countries had a lot of jobs, in a sense, imported from the United States, who, as you could say, maybe for as a result of the massive unionization, bled those jobs out of there. And also, I wanted to add on to my point a little bit more quickly, because I know, Rohan, you wanted to talk. One thing I also kind of foresee, for example, is that we saw in Europe, for example, where the union rates are a lot higher than us here in the United States. And we see that that Europe effectively had their industry, like, and you could say, for example, in Britain, for example, a lot of people blame Thatcher, which I'm not going to comment on because I will admit I'm not an expert on British politics and British history, but I'm not really an expert on that field, so I can't really talk to that. But at least in Europe, I'm generalizing Europe as an example here. Deindustrialization, you could say, also happened at a much more effective rate because you don't see a lot of stuff being made in Europe all too much anymore. You definitely do see some cars coming from Germany. But overall, Europe basically has a non-existent industry. And you can maybe attribute that to the high union rates. But what were you going to say, Rohan? I'm sorry for cutting you off.
Yeah, so what I was saying is, like, you know, for the Europe and United States, I think like more higher value products are made here because it just ends up costing cheaper to make it here because there's better quality. Forgive me for saying this, but there's better quality workers, I guess, in terms of their pay and that kind of their efficiency. And their motivation, right? And it also just costs less to ship it here. But with unions and globalization, I feel that it might slow down the exportation of jobs in the United States to other countries. But at the same time, I think those developing countries, it still ends up costing less to pay a worker there and ship it here than pay a worker here. Despite the fact that unions won't be negotiating for wage increases, the United States and the rest of the West is a developed nation, which means the cost of living is much higher than in China or in India. You know, you can take a few hundred dollars in the United U.S. dollars, go to India, and you have a lot more wealth there than here. So that my point being, it just costs a lot less to live there. And as a result, it's a lot cheaper to produce stuff there too, no matter what the wages would be here.
Well, at that point, I mean, yeah, you are correct about that. That's more so getting into economics in a sense there. But I think we should also talk about the fact that I don't know if I would exactly agree upon the fact that we would see like a slower exportation. We might not even see that much, like a much less exportation. And the reason why I say that is mainly because of the fact that perhaps in a sense that we could see the United States in a sense maybe. But like, what do you think? Do you think it all depends on the fact of whether or not the United States gets a little bit more protectionist on its trade policy. Do you think maybe they would take that approach?
I think we would still keep our same low tariffs and no tariffs on most products because consumers at this time, I think, are starting to demand for just the lowest price possible. You know, they're just trying to get the best price possible, especially when we go on to the 70s and 80s, not necessarily the 50s and 60s, but a little later. Consumers are just going to demand for the cheapest price possible and good quality products. So they're going to not be happy with tariffs because if it's cheaper to produce it in China, consumers aren't going to think about the jobs that are lost. They're just trying to see that, okay, I am going to be spending this much money instead of that much.
I think you're definitely correct. Yeah, no, I want to respond to that. I definitely agree with that point of view. Like I said, because when I was coming into it, I was thinking for a second, maybe they adopt a protectionist trade policy, right? But no, I don't think that would be the case, really. But I think you definitely do bring up a good point about the American mindset, because I think it's really only a recent mindset, maybe within the past 5 to 10 years, where you see a lot more Americans becoming a little bit concerned about where our stuff is coming from. And I mean, for example, I even heard about it personally, for example, where it's like, oh man, why are so many of these products coming from China and all these other places that aren't America? I mean, that's the reason why, for example, you saw Trump win a lot of votes in 2016 in a sense, because he said made in America. But I'm not going to really touch too much on Trump. Let's get back to it. So I think, honestly, we would maybe instead of seeing the mass exportation of our jobs to, say, China, for example, in the 1970s. But I mean, yeah, you definitely do bring up a good point here, especially with the fact that it is the American mindset. However, I think one thing to talk about more so beforehand, before we end this episode, would be potentially the fact that, simply put, how do you think people would perhaps feel about the removal of the Wagner Act after the fact? Because I would like to see more of I would like to think more so of what the American reaction would be. And I'm not talking about more so immediately, I'm talking about more so the future reactions, perhaps. And I mean, for example, we're going under the context here that Truman still tries to veto the removal of the Wagner Act, but, you know, they get the same votes as they did for Taft-Hartley.
I think immediately, like, I know you said not immediately, but I think immediately people would be happy with it because, you know, the strikes were kind of angering the American public. They weren't upset. They weren't happy with the unions. And that's why the Taft-Hartley Act was passed in the first place. So now going on to the future, I think it's going to be relatively a split between the, you know, the usual geographical lines. You know, the North and the West Coast are going to be more pro-union, and they're going to be a little upset about it, and they're going to start pushing for legislation to allow unions again, while the South is going to be more anti-union, per se, you know, I think based off their historical geographical lines on this issue. And the reason for that is because I think the manufacturing is still going to be in the North and the West. Manufacturing isn't going to move to the South just because the unions aren't there now. That's a modern era thing, and I don't think that would happen then.
That's interesting, honestly. I don't know if that would happen, maybe, as a result. I don't know if that would exactly happen, really. I mean, that's hard, actually. You bring up a pretty good question here. I don't know if that would exactly happen, mainly because of the fact is that, actually, maybe that would happen. I'm kind of torn on it, mainly because I could see it going both ways, in the sense where there could be potentially pro-union legislation passed during, maybe, say, a Democratic administration. I mean, LBJ would be a great example, perhaps, of it being passed, potentially, where you might see, for example, a pro-union bill passed that maybe adds some parts of the Wagner Act back into law, or just as easily not even see it happen as a result. And so overall, I think that's kind of the great mystery of alternate history. You don't know exactly what's going to happen, but it's more so a theoretical process of it. And otherwise, that's it for this episode of Back to the Past, the Alternate History Podcast here. This was definitely one we wanted to do because we were talking about, what's going to be our next episode idea here. And I think that Taft-Hartley, for example, is probably one of the most important laws in United States history because of the fact that it is basically the most important labor law in a sense here. But I've kind of, because we were kind of going through research of it in the past week or two, we were kind of getting really interested and really intrigued into it. But yeah, make sure to check out our Twitter and Instagram at BackToThePastP1. Again, for our Twitter and Instagram is at BackToThePastP1. Leave us a review on any website, for example, Audible. If you're listening on Audible, leave us a review there. If you're listening on Apple Music, leave us a review there. And otherwise, I hope you guys have a great day.